Hey, this is Kurt Isles. I'm glad you've joined us here at the Creek Bank. We're glad that you're with us today as we tell you a story called Watch Out for the Fish. Before we get started, I want to remind you I'm on the porch at the old house. It's a mile off the highway. There's just no noises. And I just want to give you about 10 seconds of how quiet it is and see what you can hear in the background. Well, as you can see, it's just me and the birds, and they kind of act as my sound studio. So I hope you won't be disturbed by any background noises from the different birds that are here in the yard at the old house. Today, I want to tell you a story, and it comes from my third book, Wind in the Pines, and it's called Watch Out for the Fish. Now, you may have noticed that a lot of times people on the back of their car will put what's called a Christian fish, and it shows that they're a Christian. And they'll put it sometimes on the back window, sometimes on the bumper sticker. And when you see that, that identifies them as a follower of Jesus. But you better be careful about that. I remember an earlier time where it was very popular to put on your bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus. And I heard a story one time about this family that came up behind a car that had the bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus. And a driver started just honking and got no results. So he kept honking, and finally, the driver ahead stuck his arm out the window and shot him the finger. Now, I hope that story is not true. But back to the fish. We need to be careful whether we're wearing a shirt or a hat or something on our vehicle. If it says that we're following Jesus, we want to make sure that's what we're doing. So I want to tell you today a story called Watch Out for the Fish. When my son Clay was in college, I talked he and my nephew Adam into going hiking with me in the Great Smoky Mountains Park. We hiked for 4 days on the Appalachian Trail, had a wonderful time. Hard hiking, but a great time with my son and my nephew. But I noticed about the fourth day, they'd had enough of it. And so that day we said, guys, I said, I believe y'all ready to go home. They said, we'd like to go home. Adam said, no, Kurt, we've enjoyed it. We're ready to go to the house. And so I said, well, let's make this deal. We'll either, if you see a bear or it starts raining, we'll go home. Well, that night we were at the shelter on the Appalachian Trail that has these little open-fronted shelters. In bear country, they had chain-link fence with the door across the front. And that's to get you in away from the bears. In other words, it's the opposite of a zoo. And just as we were cleaning up from supper, and one of the boys was out cleaning some pots, he came running back in a hurry. He said, there's a bear. And sure enough, as we got in the shelter and shut the door, a big black bear came rambling into our camp. In the Smoky Mountains, one of the main problems about bears is they lose their fear of mankind. And this bear was ready to, he'd smelled our food and our cooking, and he was ready to get him some supper. And so we watched the bear for a while, and Adam, my nephew, said, Uncle Kurt, can we go home now? I said, I guess we'll go home. Well, the next day we get in our vehicle, and we're starting back, you know, down to I-20, coming back to Dry Creek. And just about at the Mississippi-Alabama state line, I hear something in our van that just sounds like the bottom's falling out. And we ease off. We just happen to be at the exit. And we ease off at this exit that says Tumsuba, Tumsuba, Mississippi. We ease off that exit and we go to a service station. And I get out and I look under there and our drive shaft is gone. We've lost our drive shaft. So I go in the service station, a convenience store, and I ask the guy, I said, what would you do if you were in Tumsuba on a Saturday afternoon and you lost your drive shaft? The guy hardly looked up from his paper, said, get a motel in the Monday. I said, sir, we can't do that. We got to get home. Surely there's something you can do. And the guy said, well, down the road a ways is Bunyard's transmission shop. I don't know if they can help you. Let me call up there. So I listened while the guy called, and they talked back and forth. And finally, the clerk got off the phone. He said, Mr. Bunyard said he'll come there and take a look, but he doesn't have much time. They're on their way to the stock car races. I knew I'm among my people right here. Well, here they come driving up, two men, James Bunyard, who was the father, and his son Al. And he got out, and they weren't real happy to see us, but they were going to help us regardless. And Al, I like this, Al crawled under the vehicle with a cigarette in one hand and fiddling around with the drive shaft with the other. And they talked back and forth, said, well, we might have one that'll fit that at back of the house. So they go back to their shop. Sure enough, they come back, that exact drive shaft that we need. They put it on there, and we're ready to go. But here comes the hard part. I said, Mr. Bunyard, how much do I owe you? He said, well, the part's $100. I said, yes, sir. Would you be happy if I paid you $150 for your trouble and your labor? He said, I'd be very happy with that. And then, listen to what I said. I said, well, sir, I don't have that much cash on me. He kind of stopped and looked at me. I said, I do have my credit card. And James Bunyard said, we don't take credit cards. I said, well, sir, if I'm going to pay you the rest of it, I pulled back the cash I had. If I'm going to pay you the balance, I'm going to have to write you a check. He said, I don't like taking checks, especially out-of-town checks. I said, sir, I realize that. But I said, I really don't have any choice. You've either got to trust me to leave the check or trust me, I'll mail something to you. He said, well, I don't know. And here's where I made my major mistake. I handed him one of my books. It was Stories in the Creek Bank, my first book. And I said, I'm a writer, and I want you to have this book. And he kind of looked at it, and he looked at me and said, did you write that? And I said, yes, sir, I did. And he still looked at me. I said, to let you know I'm an honest man, Mr. Bunyard, I pulled out my business card, Kurt Isles, Dry Creek Baptist Camp. And I made a tactical error. I said, Mr. Bunyard, I'm one of those good Baptists. You know I wouldn't cheat you. Listen, I had just poured gasoline on the fire. He took great offense. He said, yep, I know about you Baptists. He said, not long ago I had a fella coming through here that said he was a Baptist preacher. And I fixed his vehicle up. He said he'd be sending me the money. And you know what? I'm still waiting on it. And he said, you know what else? I'll be waiting on a year from now. So that's what I think of you good Baptists. I said, well, sir, I don't know I'm sorry that man cheated you, but you're not getting cheated by me. The check I'm going to write you is a good check, and I'm going to go Monday to the bank and see if it cleared, and I promise you it'll clear. He took my check, kind of looked at it like it was worthless, and he said, well, I guess I'd have to trust you. I said, sir, you don't know me, but you can trust me that what I say I'm going to do. He took the check. He and Al left, going to stock car races. We'd get back in our vehicle, and we got in there. Adam said, Uncle Kurt, you made a big mistake when you brought up about being a Baptist. I said, yeah, I should have never brought it up. Well, sure enough, I did. I went to the bank on Monday. I saw where he had deposited the check, and they cleared. I felt good about it. Now, within a year, I was on another trip down I-20. We got to Tumsuba. I got off. I went and found the Bunyard Transmission Shop. I can't describe it adequately, but I bet you can figure out what it looked like. There were junk cars everywhere, and they were working. And I went in there, and Al, the son, was working on something. He looked at me. I said, you don't remember me, do you? He looked at me. I said, I'm the guy y'all put the drive shaft in for, and I gave you the book. The guy said, oh, yeah, you're the one that wrote the book. We've read a few of those stories and like it. I said, do you remember I left a check for y'all? I want to come by and see your dad. And Al Bunyard said, well, he's out back. Let me go get him. Mr. Bunyard comes in there. And, of course, he doesn't recognize me. I said, Mr. Bunyard, I left a check for you last year for you fixing my drive shaft. I want you to know it was a good check. He said it was. He shook my hand. You know, in the coming years, anytime I'd travel through on I-20, I'd pull in there and check on him. And I told him this. I said, eventually, I'm going to put you in a book. And James Bunyard said, you're going to put me in a book? I said, yes, sir. I'm going to write a story about the day you fixed your drive shaft. And you know what? in Wind in the Pines, the book Watch Out for the Fish is in there. And sure enough, after this book was published, I stopped in one day and gave it to Al. James was gone. I gave it to Al, and I opened the page to let him see where the story was. Watch Out for the Fish. Now, I want to say this. That's a really good story, and I'll never forget the look on the guy's face. But it's a good lesson. Sometimes we need to practice what we preach. You know, if I'm going to put anything on my back windshield or my bumper or what I'm wearing, if anything I'm going to put out there that I'm a Christ follower, I need to be very careful to act like I'm a Christ follower. Because people are looking, especially when they realize you're a Christian. You don't have to have a sign. When they find out you're a Christian, they're wanting to match up what they see in the teachings of Jesus. That's tough to do. That's why I depend on Him to help me on that. But I think it's so important that we have the integrity that we always do the right thing so that when people see us and do business with us, they can say, He is a man of His word. I hope you've enjoyed Watch Out for the Fish. I've enjoyed telling it. And I'm going to close off with our usual benediction, I guess to say. And I'm going to just let the tape run for about 20 seconds. If you're tired of it, you can turn it off. I'm just going to let you get up 20, 30 seconds. A good dry creek, quiet. We'll see you soon. In the meantime, we'll leave the screen door unlatched for you. One of my favorite verses, Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God."